Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Over the past 4 years, Time Out Radio has covered a variety of sports, from soccer, football, bicycling, basketball, and marathons, to ultimate frisbee, pickleball, and esports. On this episode of Time Out Radio, we cover rowing, a sport that has a long history going back to the 1500s. Here's some basic rowing vocabulary. A couple of forms of rowing are sweep oar and sculling. In sweep rowing, a rower uses one oar and holds it in both hands. In sculling, a rower uses two oars, or sculls, and holds one in each hand. Individuals or teams race each other in boats. The boats are called shells, and they are long row boats that vary in size depending on the number of rowers they're meant to carry. They can carry 1, 2, 4, or 8 rowers who sit in single file. Their seats slide forward and backward on little rollers, which lets rowers broaden the sweep of their oars. Rowers sit facing the back of the boat and have their backs in the direction of travel. The rower's efforts push the boat forward. If there is a coxswain, this person usually sits at the back of the boat facing the rowers, and they call out the stroke rhythm and steer the boat. If there is no coxswain, then a rower steers the boat using a rudder that they move with their foot. Rowing began centuries ago as a means of transportation. Racing rowboats started in England in the 1500s, back when there were not that many bridges to cross rivers on foot. So people who were called watermen helped ferry passengers on rivers. Prompted by wagering by passengers, these watermen started racing each other, first informally and then at organized events that were called regattas. In the United States, rowing began the same way in the 1800s, with ferrymen racing each other. Doggett's Coat and Badge is the oldest continuous rowing race in the world. The prestigious rowing competition has been held annually since 1715. The 4.5-mile race is rowed upstream from London Bridge to Chelsea and passes under 11 bridges. The prize is the traditional waterman's red coat with a silver badge. Students at Oxford University and Cambridge University in England took up organized rowing as a sport in the 1820s. A major rowing event, the Henley Royal Regatta, which is still held each year in England, was founded back in 1839. Around the same time, rowing clubs began to get their start in other parts of Europe, the US, Canada, and Australia, and rowing started becoming popular at colleges and universities. The first intercollegiate rowing competition in the United States, the Harvard-Yale Regatta, was held in 1852. The University of California has had a rowing program at its Berkeley campus since 1875. Several countries formed amateur and professional rowing organizations around this time. The International Rowing Federation was founded in 1892. The sport puts to the test its athletes' endurance, discipline, resilience, perseverance, and teamwork. It's a full-body, low-impact cardio workout that builds muscle strength and stability. Rowing is one of the oldest Olympic sports. It became an Olympic sport in 1896, but the first competition in Athens was canceled due to rough seas. Rowing events have been held in the Olympic Games since 1900. About 75 years later, women's rowing got its start in the Montreal Olympic Games in 1976. The rowing competitions at this year's Summer Olympics in Paris will run from end July to early August at the National Olympic Nautical Stadium. About 500 rowers will be competing in 7 categories, each for men and women. Our guest on today's episode is Oliver O'Reilly, professor of mechanical engineering at UC Berkeley, who tells us about the University of California's long history of rowing. Our place of the week is Montreal, Canada, where women's rowing was first introduced in the Summer Olympics back in 1976. Up next is Wake Up by Imagine Dragons. Wheels up when I'm off the ground, I'm nowhere but I'm all around, I'm spinning and watch me now, I'm spinning. Big man when the wall between us, big man gonna break the pieces, spinning and can't believe it, spinning. Turn around, turn it up, talk a bit, zip it up, lock you in, and close it up. And I'm bound to seize it. Take a chainsaw out and feed it. Come alive when you don't believe it. Write me off and I'd love to read it. Spit your words and I'll watch you eat it. Welcome back to Time Out Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Our guest is Oliver O'Reilly, who is a mechanical engineering professor and vice provost for undergraduate education at UC Berkeley. So, Oliver, welcome to Time Out Radio. First off, you teach a freshman course called Bears in Boats about the history of rowing at Berkeley. So, why, first off, a course on rowing?
Well, thank you for having me here, Rohan. So freshman seminars are one-unit courses that we teach at Berkeley every semester for incoming students. And they're designed to help students become familiar with the campus, find their way on campus, and usually the people teaching them, it's their passion projects. So I've always loved rowing. And there's really no school quite like Berkeley for rowing and rowing history. Berkeley has this extraordinary rich history as well. So it's an opportunity to put those two things together. And also, I've always loved teaching. Teaching is my North Star. But in my administrative role, I just don't have the bandwidth to teach three-unit courses and also provide sufficient engagement with students. So these one-unit seminars are just an ideal way for me to meet students, to engage with them, and to really help them start their journey at Cal.
Yeah, and you grew up in Ireland and rowed in high school. So tell us about your experience rowing in school and then how you got that across the Atlantic to Berkeley.
Yeah, so I didn't row across the Atlantic to Berkeley. My journey was a little different. But I grew up in Ireland in a town called Galway, which has a river, the River Carb runs through it. And there's lots of rowing programs. And so in high school, at the age of 12, I started rowing. And I did it for a year and I really loved it. There's something when you're in a boat with other people and you all start rowing together, that's really just magical. And if it happens once or twice in 100 practices, it's the moment you never forget. I loved being out on the water. I loved the physical exercise. I really loved it. And I did it for one more year, but I'm only 5'10" on a very good day. And there was very little equipment. So I knew that I would be spending a lot of time on the bank waiting for people to either not show up or have injuries, so I would get a chance to be in the boat. So I dropped it for several years. And then I went to finish my undergraduate in Ireland, went to graduate school at Cornell, did a postdoc in Zurich in Switzerland, and then the luckiest person on the planet, I ended up getting a faculty position at Berkeley. The first time I heard about Berkeley was actually when I was reading Guinness Book of World Records when I was 11. And I noticed that Berkeley was the only school with three Olympic gold medals in rowing. And I also learned about Berkeley with the elements californium. I learned that plutonium was discovered here. I learned that Oppenheimer was a professor here. So you could say that my introduction to Berkeley was because of rowing, but I never imagined I would end up here.
Yeah, and rowing has pretty much been a very strong tradition at, you know, some of the elite East Coast universities. And I didn't know this before I started my research for this episode, but Cal has had a rowing program since 1875. And men's rowing is the university's oldest organized sport. Rowing is expensive and can quickly get financially challenging for a public university. So what led to the growth of men's rowing at Cal?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So rowing was formed in 1875, and the members actually contributed dues, and that helped to have a boathouse on the Oakland estuary, and also equipment and coaches. The history of Cal rowing prior to 1900 was interesting because two of their boathouses burned down, but they were resilient and they just kept going. And then in 1902, they joined the Associated Students of the University of California, the ASUC. But really, rowing came to prominence in the 1920s and 30s when it was the sport. There was no TV at that time. There was radio. There was a lot of entrepreneurship, setting up a major regatta on the East Coast called the IRA in Poughkeepsie, which pioneered a lot of radio broadcasting on the water of rowing races. Berkeley had an amazing coach at that time called Kai Ebright in the 1920s, who actually came from University of Washington. His crew formed in 1928 that won everything, including an Olympic gold medal. And they really set the standard for Berkeley rowing. Success builds on success. So there were two other Olympic gold medal winning crews. And when you start that building a legacy like that, you attract support. You also attract alumni engagement. Those gold medals have really kept rowing going at Berkeley.
Yeah, and Cal rowing was featured in the 2013 book, The Boys in the Boat, which was by Daniel James Brown, who is a Berkeley graduate. And the book was made into a movie, which was then directed by George Clooney, that was released last year. And that covers the University of Washington's rivalry with Cal, which culminated with Washington's run for gold at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin in the shadows of World War II. So tell us about some of Cal's rowing rivalries and how that helped grow the sport on the West Coast.
Yeah, so Washington and Cal have an extraordinary history together. And if you look at every major institution or every successful institution in the world, there's always another one that competes with it and that they both spur each other on. So Washington's rowing program in the 1920s was probably the best in the country. And Cal were looking for a coach. One of the Washington assistant coaches, Kai Ebright, came to Cal with the promise that he, if an opening came back up at University of Washington, he would get that position as well. That didn't quite happen. Cal were very fortunate that Kai Ebright had this amazing crew in 1928, who were just supreme. And if you read some of the newspaper articles about them, they're just, it's glorious. Cal won the Olympic gold medal in Los Angeles. And then in the 1930s, following that, Cal were very successful, but University of Washington started developing this extraordinary crew based on their freshman eight in 1934. And that crew became the 1936 Boys in the Boat crew, who won the Olympics. Washington were favored to win the Olympics again in 1940, which was supposed to be held in Helsinki, but that was canceled because of the war. The Olympics in 44 were also canceled. And then the Olympics in 1948 were formed in Henley in London. Washington were again favored. And in the best race in Cal's rowing history, Cal beat Washington in the Olympic trials by a fraction of a second, probably one of the closest races in collegiate rowing history. And then they went on and won the Olympics. They won the Olympic final by a massive 10 seconds. And you can see a move. There's a movie on YouTube that you can see of that. This is, I've only touched the surface of the rivalry. The rivalry continues to this day. Last year, Cal won all the men's rowing championships. This year, Washington did the same thing.
Yeah. And your daughter was recruited to Cal's rowing rival, University of Washington's team, and then returned to Berkeley and was the coxswain for Cal's crew. So you've been involved with the Cal Women's Rowing History Project, which covers the history of women's rowing at Cal. And then the Women's Boat Club at Cal was founded in 1900, but then it took another 70 years before the Cal's women's rowing program was officially established. So tell us about Title IX and its impact on women's rowing at Cal.
Yeah. So just going back to the Olympic crews again, the 1948 Olympic crew, many of those rowers, their daughters started to row. And their daughters rowed at Lake Merritt. And then they came to Cal and they wanted to row at Cal and there was no program at Cal. But in 1972, Title IX passed. And Title IX states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly, what that means is that every school with a major football program now needed a major women's sports program to compensate for that, to gender balance their athletics programs. Women's rowing exploded because of Title IX. And if you look at all the main schools, like Ohio State have a women's rowing program, University of Michigan have a rowing program, the University of Alabama, University of Washington, Cal. So Cal's women's rowing program, there had been one that existed in the 1900s based in Lake Merritt. There was also a program based in the 1960s that the History Project uncovered that was based in Aquatic Park and in Lake Merritt as well. But officially, the first official crews were formed in the fall of 1974, in part because of Title IX, and also in part because of the extraordinary history of men's rowing at Cal. The fact that we had a program that was one of the most celebrated in the world, but we had no women's rowing program, was essentially an injustice that needed to be corrected. And Title IX also guaranteed that if there was a scholarship for men's rowing, there had to be a scholarship for women's rowing as well.
And, you know, the Cal Bears as a team have represented the United States and won 3 gold medals in men's 8 Olympic rowing in 1928, 1932, and 48, which is more than any university in the world. And Cal men's and women's crew athletes have won 42 Olympic medals, 34 golds, 5 silver, and 3 bronze. So how does the future look for Cal at this year's 2024 Paris Olympic Games?
So it's pretty exciting. So overall, there's over 40 women and men who are either alums or current students competing in the Olympics in a range of sports from golf to swimming and rowing. So just for rowing itself, there's 5 alumni rowing. Kaylee Filmer and Sydney Payne are rowing in the Canadian Women's 8. Roan McKellar is rowing in the GB 8. Inger Cavalli is rowing in the double sculls for Norway. And Cara Kohler is rowing in the single representing the USA. And the single is probably the hardest boat to qualify because it's one person. You're out there on your own. And she's just an extraordinary athlete. And it's amazing that a Cal alum is rowing a single and is a world-class single rower representing the USA. And then on the men's side, there's 10 alums rowing, 10 alums and current students. So Angus Dawson and Jack Robertson are rowing in the Australian men's 8. Gennaro D'Amaro is rowing for the Italian men's 8. Olaf Molnar is rowing for the Dutch 8. Frederick Brewer is rowing for the German 8, and then Christian Tabash is rowing for the USA 8. So the 8s race is going to be just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then on the 4s race, Ollie McLean is rowing for New Zealand, and Tim Roth is rowing for Switzerland, and then Martin Markovic is rowing for Serbia, and Gus Rodriguez is a spare for the US rowing team. So it's going to be an amazing, I'm really looking forward to the rowing races at the Olympics.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Dr. O'Reilly, for joining me on Timeout Radio today, and great to talk to you.
Great talking to you too.
Thank you. Of course, that's Oliver O'Reilly, who is a mechanical engineering professor at UC Berkeley. And that was Never Change by Systra. In today's travel segment, we visit Montreal, Canada, the largest city in the province of Quebec and home to 1.8 million people. It's located on an island in the St. Lawrence River, one of the largest rivers in North America and the primary outflow of the Great Lakes. The city is built around and up the 760-foot hill, Mount Royal, from which Montreal gets its name. The top of the hill has a park, which was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, who also designed New York City's Central Park. Montreal is one of the oldest cities in Canada and was founded more than 350 years ago by immigrants from France. By the early 1700s, it was a major fur trading post. After England colonized the area in the 1760s, British traders settled in the city. However, Montreal held onto its French identity. Many people there speak French and follow French culture and traditions. Montreal was the capital of Canada from 1844 to 1849. An economic and political crisis spurred by tensions between supporters of British rule and the French Canadians led to the Montreal riots. Because of this unrest, the capital of Canada was moved to Toronto from 1849 to 1851. In the 1850s, the city dealt with fires that destroyed many of its buildings and much of it had to be rebuilt. Montreal now has modern skyscrapers as well as an extensive underground city that lies below these high-rises. During Montreal's sub-zero winters, over 500,000 people use its underground tunnels each day. This pedestrian network has over 20 miles of tunnels that connect its restaurants, hotels, stores, shopping malls, banks, movie theaters, museums, art galleries, offices, metro stations, and even universities. And speaking of universities, Montreal has 6 universities and 12 colleges and has the highest concentration of post-secondary students of all major cities in North America. That's about 250,000 students within a 5-mile radius. All this education leads to a lot of innovation. The first search engine, Archie, was created in Montreal by Alan Emtage in 1989 when he was in his mid-20s, when he was working as a system administrator at McGill University. Montreal is a fascinating mix of new and old. The city's historic center, Old Montreal, lies along the riverfront and has cobblestone streets and historic French architecture. There are more than 400 miles of bike paths and 120 miles of cross-country ski trails in the city. When you need to refuel after all that exercise, try some poutine. That's fries topped with gravy and cheese curds. You know if your poutine is fresh if it squeaks. Yes, you heard that right. Cheese curds are squeaky when you bite into them for a couple of days after they are made. The hallmark of great poutine. After a filling meal, settle down to enjoy some of Montreal's sports. The city is home to the NHL ice hockey team Montreal Canadiens, the franchise with the most Stanley Cup wins. You can also check out the Canadian Football League's Montreal Alouettes, CF Montreal of Major League Soccer, and PWHL Montreal of the Professional Women's Hockey League. The city has also been the home of the annual Formula One Canadian Grand Prix since 1978. Montreal hosted the 1976 Summer Olympics, which were the first Olympics ever held in Canada. The Montreal Games hosted women's rowing for the first time. 16 countries participated in women's rowing events there that year. These games were also the first Summer Olympics where women competed in basketball. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, Montreal, Quebec. Alright, let's call a timeout for Time Out Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Cater 95.7 FM with the Grassroots Grow. Have a great day, everyone.